When we think of old age, we picture someone slowing down, stepping out of the workforce, and spending time in tranquil simplicity. It's called the golden years, when our toughest days are behind and our peaceful days are ahead. But at nearly 150 years old, Abraham refused to sit in the proverbial rocking chair. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll concludes a message introduced last week. We're in Genesis chapter 25, where we discover the graceful manner in which Abraham concluded his life. Chuck titled today's message, What a Way to Go.
How delightful you are to be around when you're looking at the bright side. You're surrounded by those who focus on the somber, dark side, which is why in the twilight years there are these common reactions we come across. First is narcissism. Narcissism leads then to pessimism. You think God isn't able to take you when he's ready to take you? It leads to fatalism. This person lives to die. The misery index is high in that whole mentality, and I suggest we fight it like the plague. How unlike Abraham. Even though he would seem to be a poster child for these very things, narcissism and pessimism and fatalism, there was none of that in his life. None. I mean, in a heartbreaking moment, he buries his wife, Sarah. He's 137. You would think he'd go home, pull the shades, lock the door, and plead with God to let him die. Why? Why would he do that? God calls the shots on death, so he doesn't. You know, by now chapter 25, he's pushing about 140, 142, 143 years of age for starters. He's lost his lifelong companion. He's been through the ups and downs with a nephew that was irresponsible. Not a word of bitterness in his life about Lot, by the way. He's now alone. His son is married, found a lovely bride, and Isaac and Rebekah ride off into the sunset with romance and delight and marriage all over the place, and here he's left with an empty house. So what on earth does he have to live for? What's his future? Well, it's quite surprising. For starters, he marries another woman, verse 1. Took another wife whose name was Keturah. So, God had some surprises. He probably thought they're going to sit around the front porch and teach the dog to sit up and hang out. One day she says to him, hey, going to have a baby. And she, a few months later, says, hey, Abe, going to have another baby. So the second family is described for us in verse 2, names you can't pronounce, but here they are, 6 more kids. How old is Abraham? Well, he's about 140, 145 to start with. He's got 6 kids. So guess what? He stays engaged. He's involved in their lives. Of course. He doesn't use age as an excuse. Oh, you take him to soccer. I'm going to sit on the front porch and teach the dog to sit up. I'm just going to hang out here. Nope. Look at the generosity. I love this. Now, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. You know what? Abraham's still living. That's not a will that transpired when he died. That's while he's alive. He's not through. The sons of his concubines, Abraham also gave gifts. Look at this. While he was still living, sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the land of the east. Here's another. Are you enjoying releasing your wealth while you're still alive, like Abraham did? Have you stopped to think how much the government will take if you don't do your business right? Come on. It's a biblical principle that we give to our children in their needs. They don't give to us. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14. Here it is. Watch closely. Here, for this third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but you. He's writing about an offering they said they would give. They haven't finished. He's saying, I'm not trying to rip you off. I just want you to finish the offering. Get it finished. When I'm there, I'll pick it up and be on my way. It's for your benefit. Look at the last part of the verse. 2 Corinthians 12, 14b. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents. The parents for their children. There it is. I could read it to you in the Greek. It reads the same way. It means exactly what it says. The message renders it, children shouldn't have to look out for their parents. Parents look out for the children. I've heard parents make comments like, you know, I've worked all my life, and now that I've got them out of the house, this is for us. I'm spending my kids' inheritance. Wait a minute. You proud of that? Does that honor God? Is that what he would have you do? If it is, he doesn't really mean what he says in verse 14. A principle that is not being promoted in this generation has resulted in very selfish aging parents. But in more cases than not, we parents are well able to help with the generosity of our gifts to our children. Many of you have far more than we'll ever have. What are you doing with it? You're going to take it with you to the casket? I've never seen any money in any hands in the casket. They're always open and they're always empty. And that money then is going to go somewhere else if you don't do your giving while you're living. Abraham chose to do that. By the way, don't be afraid of being generous. Don't be that suspicious. Let your generosity run its course. God will be honored in your giving. Whatever it may be, in whatever way you wish to do it, you choose the way. Just make sure it's marked by generosity. Okay, we're back here to Abraham in Genesis 25. He gave that to Isaac, and he already given some to Ishmael. He now gives to the others that are part of his life. And now, look, I love the ending here at verse 7 down to verse 10. I love the way it reads. These are all the years of Abraham. Of Abraham's life that he lived, 175. He lived all of those years. He didn't die 30 years earlier and was buried now. He lived all 175 years. Read on. Abraham breathed his last, died in a ripe old age, an old man. Look at the word, satisfied with life. How many people could you say that up? He died with a smile. He was, well, the Hebrew word is savah, S-A-H-B-A-A, savah. And it means to be full of years, to be full of satisfaction. I mean, his heart beat faster when the grandkids came around and the kids were there and he looked into their eyes, realizing, I've helped you out. Now you got a little launch pad. You can make it from here. You do this with your kids. And look how touching this ending is. Breathed his last, satisfied with life, was gathered to his people. Isn't that beautiful? For the first time now in a long time, he saw Sarah as he comes into the presence of the Lord. See, his body is buried, but his soul is taken and will await the final resurrection. Remember, we talked about that earlier. Then his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah. Don't you know they were proud of him? Don't you know there was no shame? They talked about it. They rehearsed his life. They smiled as they shared their stories. the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. I have one simple response. What a way to go. What a way to go. Don't cry for Abraham. No, don't mourn his death. Rejoice in his life. Look at what he made of it. Look how he used it. It's marvelous. Now, that was then, and that was Abraham. This is now, this is you. You and I live today for what we have before us. So let me give you a couple of secrets on finishing well. A couple of things I'm learning in my few years on this earth. One has to do with being faithful. The other has to do with being diligent. First, being faithful to remember that each day offers opportunities for staying young at heart. Each day offers opportunities for staying young at heart. Among them, choices. How about a choice of your attitude? Every morning you make that choice. Today, I will be positive. I will look for the good things. I will be excited about what this day brings. I will anticipate some surprises along the way. Second would be a choice of your friends, your circle of friends. If they are negative, you're going to become negative. If they are selfish, you're going to become selfish. If they're tightwads, you're going to be a tightwad. If their world revolves around themselves, yours will too. Choose friends that lift your spirit, your activities, and your involvements. I know you can't do all that you were able to do when you get up in years. That's understandable. In that exam with Cooper, he wanted me to get in certain positions, and my response was, "You're kidding. You're really kidding." No, and he would do it. I'd go, "Yeah, thanks. That's great." Some things you can't do that you used to be able to do. That's all right. Another is your activities, your involvements, your cultivation of healthy habits, staying in touch with the music of our day and the times in which we live, attending the symphony, going to concerts, being a part of the celebrations of life. Less television, more books. You will never, ever mature watching television. It has nothing to offer that will truly, truly change your life. Books are full of information that will transform you. How many books have you read this year? How many did you read last year? People can tell me the serials they watch on television more readily than they can tell me a book they read, even in a year's time. Should always be a book handy here, and if you're there, a book handy right there, so you're readily into them, reading them. It makes you a person of depth. Less food and more nourishment. How valuable is that? Less sitting around, more exercise. You say, "Well, Chuck, I can't move like I used to." Can you walk? Try walking. That's what I do. Just walk. Now, it doesn't mean you kind of saunter along. Walk. Get out there and walk. I like the words of Satchel Paige. 6 rules for staying. You know Satchel Paige? You baseball fans know. He's the old venerable baseball star of yesteryear. He gives 6 rules for staying young. These are great. Number 1. Avoid fried meats which angry up the blood. Well, that's not going to go over in the South, I'll tell you. They fry everything. Number 2, if your stomach disputes you, lie down and pacify it with cool thoughts. Isn't that good? Number 3, keep the juices flowing by jangling around gently as you move. Jangling around. Every once in a while, I'll come towards Cynthia, jangling around. "Hey, how you doing?" That's all you need to know. Number 4. Number 4, go very gently on the vices, such as carrying on in society. The social ramble ain't restful. Will you behave yourself? morally as you get older? Will you stay away from porn sites on the internet? Many of those who view the porn sites I hear and I read about are aging men and women. What is that about? That's filth. Stay away from those vices. Number five, avoid running at all times. I like that. When I do my walk in the neighborhood, there's a young woman that runs. She's so thin, she looks like a zipper. I can hear her coming right by me. Not that I'm watching her or anything, but it's like being caught in a little windstorm. I want to go, why? You could walk. Number six, don't look back. Somebody might be gaining on you. I like that one. That's good. Hey, stay at it. Stay at life. Stay at life. Everybody around you wants you to, and your family doesn't know how to say this to you, so they asked me to say something about it today. So I'm doing it. We all admire Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth is what? He's a slugger. I mean, in his day, he was the home run hitter of the world, the star for the Yankees. And what makes it interesting is that Babe Ruth, home run king, 714 homers in his career, but very few people realize he struck out more than any other baseball player in the history of the game, 1,330 times. Struck out. But you know what you remember? He hit those homers. His words, "What's the secret of your success?" I quote, "I just keep going up there and I just keep swinging at them." Every day, men and women, I just keep swinging at it. Every day when it's my time to get in that study, put my bottom in my seat and sit there at that desk to study, I go at it as if it's the most important work of my entire life. It's my job. It's my calling. You deserve nothing less. In return, how wonderful it is when we can see a life like Abraham, who comes to the end satisfied. Satisfied. All right, that's number one. Being faithful to remember that every day opportunities come for staying young at heart. Okay, the second secret. Being diligent to refuse to give up. Right to the very end, determine that you will never stop living till they put a mirror under your nose and there's no frost, no breath, and you're gone. Don't quit. People who quit become statistics that are really not very exciting. Back to Satchel Paige. I got a great question to end with. He's the one who said, "How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were?" Isn't that a good question? How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? For whatever it's worth, let me tell you something. Not for all the money in the world would I be any other age but this age. I love it. Man, I get away with stuff I could have never gotten away with when I was younger. I like going to the grocery store, and when I finish shopping, they take all this out. The young guy that sacks the groceries says, "You need help getting out to the car?" And I said, "You want me to carry you?" "No, sir." I said, "No, I don't need any help, but I thank you. I'll carry it." That's why they make these carts, you know. I can make it. So can you. You may live alone. Your future may not seem that bright. Your family may have even turned against you. You may not have that great a marriage. I understand. I'm sorry that's true, if it is. Maybe your kids don't respect you. Maybe those people where you worked have forgotten you. You may have once been on the speed dial of those who wanted somebody to speak at a gathering, and your phone doesn't ring anymore. You're still alive. You still have a future and a hope. And when it's over, trust me, God has no trouble saying, come on. You and I are going to take this last walk together. Till then, stay at it. Lord, some of us need to hear this more than others. We realize that we're in a strange era where we expect somebody else to do something for us. Stupid concept that the government takes care of us. Or that we lean on somebody else to do what we ought to be doing for ourselves. How valuable it is that we live responsible lives. Deliver us from the self-pity of our day and all the bad news and all the laziness and lethargy that accompanies so many beyond the age of 50. How tragic. Raise up from this message a body of men and women who take life by the throat and live it to the full. Use models like we've heard about today to remind us that we're only as old as we think. And I especially ask you to remind us of the importance of staying generous. May we hold all the things you've provided for us very, very loosely. May we be quick to give and slow to keep count or watching others. Awaken us each day with the joy of realization that this is a new day planned by the living God for our good and for His glory. Use this message in a special way, not just for the older, but for younger as well. And remind us, Lord, that your plan for us is filled with surprises, and they're all for your purpose and glory. We pray this, our Father, in the matchless name of Jesus, who died at age 33, having lived every day to the fullest. In His name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Living every day to the fullest, with faith, grace, and tenacity. Those are virtues worth pursuing. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, What a Way to Go. Today's program features message number 21 in a 22-part series that concludes Thursday. To request the entire collection on CD or the downloadable audio files, just give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be quicker and more efficient to request this classic series on Abraham at insightworld.org. As we come into the final stretch of this series, it's a fitting time for me to affirm the contribution of our monthly companions and anyone who's given a donation to support Chuck's teaching on this radio station. So many of our friends pulled through in December and January to make sure we started the new year with strength, and we're so grateful. Though we never set out with this goal, Insight for Living has become a heritage ministry for many families. We often have listeners tell us that they've been listening to Chuck's teaching for 5, 10, 20 years or more. And now Insight for Living is reaching a whole new generation of families, not only through radio, but through the internet, our mobile app, and a variety of other ways people easily access Chuck's Bible teaching. We couldn't possibly expand into these areas without the support of people just like you. And today, when you give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living, we'll be happy to provide Chuck's practical book called Marriage, From Surviving to Thriving. It's our way of saying thank you by providing a tool that'll sharpen your relationships at home. To request your copy, give us a call today. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org.
Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. I'm hoping you'll join me for a one-week adventure to the Alaskan frontier.
Next summer, leave your worries behind as you sail into the Alaskan coast. Join us on the upcoming 2018 Insight for Living Ministries cruise.
I can't think of a better way to re-engage and connect with your family than spending a full week together exploring, adventuring, laughing, digging into the scriptures for practical wisdom on family matters. And all of that on the backdrop of God's majestic creation.
Reflect on His power and beauty. Restore your marriage. Renew your love and reignite your faith through Chuck Swindoll's powerful Bible teaching.
Step into the quaint seaside villages of that wild frontier. Create a world of memories you'll never forget.
Come along on the Insight for Living Summer Cruise to Alaska, June 30th through July 7th, 2018. Call 1-888-447-0444 today or visit us online at insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Be sure to listen Tuesday when Chuck Swindoll paints the portrait of a hero, warts and everything. That's right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, What a Way to Go, was copyrighted in 2013 and 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.